This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership was finalized earlier this month after 5 years of secret negotiations between 12 Pacific Rim nations. If ratified, it will be the largest trade agreement in the world, covering nearly 40% of the global GDP. While Canadian concerns were largely focused on the dairy and otter sectors, the proposed changes to intellectual property governance is equally disturbing. Megan Sally is a digital rights specialist with Open Media, and she says that this agreement is a bad deal for Canadian innovation and internet freedom. And Megan Sally joins me in the studio this morning. Hello, Megan.
Hi there.
Now, copyright is a fundamental part of intellectual property. How's the TPP going to change copyright law?
So the TPP is going to make a lot of changes to Canadian copyright law, despite what our outgoing government had told us, you know, just before the agreement was signed. One of the biggest ones that we're highlighting is it's going to extend copyright terms by an additional 20 years. So right now, Canada's copyright terms are life of the author plus 50 years, which is an international standard set at the Berne Convention. And America's copyright terms are life of the author plus 70 years. And so what we're going to be accepting under the Trans-Pacific Partnership is a 20-year extension in our copyright terms that's not only going to harm our ability to use a robust public domain, but it's also going to cost us millions of dollars.
So when we think about life of the author plus 70 years, what kind of authors would be just coming out of copyright right now?
Yeah, so things that just came out of copyright. Ian Fleming is a really great example of something that just came out of copyright. So all of the James Bond movies recently, or sorry, James Bond books recently came out of copyright. And those are things that that certainly we see people being familiar with, wanting to have in the public domain. There was actually a fellow who was a supporter of ours who wrote us a very sweet note a couple of weeks ago with a book that he had written based on James Bond, now that it was in the public domain. And it was a really fantastic way of seeing how works can be reused and remixed in today's culture. But unfortunately, we're going to see those things disappear under the TPP.
I understand that there was a lawsuit in the U.S. Against a mom who posted her toddler singing a Prince song. Now, I'm not familiar with this, but tell us that story.
Yeah, so this is a pretty well-known story for folks in the copyright industry, and even became kind of this zeitgeist that people across Canada and the U.S. were kind of flocking to this story because it was so absurd. It was a mother, and I think it was her one-year-old toddler, was dancing to a Prince song, and she uploaded a 30-second clip of it to YouTube, and it was taken down off of the internet. It was suggested that that was copyright infringement because, you know, the Prince song was still under copyright protection, and it was taken down off of the internet, and she actually paired with some pro bono lawyers at the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, in the U.S., and sued, countersued, and is just coming to the end of this case 8 years later. And now we're getting to the point where we're seeing that, you know, the U.S. courts are actually holding up some of the good pieces of their copyright legislation that say this is absolutely fair use. You know, we should be able to interact with our culture and interact with the world around us without being worried about being sued by mega conglomerates, you know, for 30 seconds of a song.
But that will now be possible in Canada with the TPP?
Well, I mean, many of these things are going to become more prevalent in Canada with a TPP. One of the other concerns that we have is certainly something that's been raised by experts like Michael Geist, that says that we could be seeing basically website blocking through the back door in Canada. So Canada has a system called Notice and Notice that essentially works towards balancing the rights of rights holders and the rights of consumers and people who want to be able to interact with media around them. And so Notice and Notice is an educational system designed to teach people about copyright infringement. So what it does is if you download a movie that was illegal, if you infringe copyright, your ISP, your internet service provider, has to pass along a notice from the copyright holder that says, you've infringed our copyright, don't do it again, basically. And so that's part of what we think is a really special system. It's a made in Canada approach. It's not found anywhere else in the world. And it allows us to actually be able to educate our populace about what copyright infringement management is and why they shouldn't do it. And that's a really fantastic approach. The government, the conservative government, fought really hard. It was a bloody political battle when we did our copyright modernization in 2012. And we eventually came out of it with these notice and notice rules. And what we're seeing under the TPP is that this whole system that we fought so hard to get is going to be dismantled. Because what the TPP allows for is foreign court orders to be enforced in Canada. So essentially it says if any court anywhere says that this is infringing, that application can be made in Canada. And certainly I think that we're going to see that countries that don't have the same type of fair rules that we do and don't value free speech the way we do, they don't value free expression the way we do, are going to be enforcing their laws in Canada.
Now, the TPP is also going to criminalize circumventing digital locks. Well, explain that to me.
Yeah, so the example we use a lot and that most people are familiar with is, you buy a CD and you want to put those songs on the CD onto your computer. Now, sometimes that will require you to break what's called a digital lock. So it's a piece of software or a piece of hardware sometimes that prevents you from shifting the content into a different format or tampering with anything. However, Canadians and people around the world want to be able to own things when they buy them. They want to be able to buy a CD and put it on their iPod, but they also want to put it on their computer. And so that's something that we take for granted than we do already today. And Canada, when we did pass our Copyright Modernization Act, unfortunately did put into place some of the most restrictive rules around digital locks in the world. We did. And those are going to become even worse under the TPP. So just a shocking example is that under the TPP, if you use a device to break a digital lock, law enforcement can seize and destroy that device. So if your computer is used for file sharing, if your child does something online that isn't necessarily what you'd want them to do or you didn't know about, the law enforcement can actually seize and destroy your computer, which seems outrageous because you bought that computer and you bought the CD that you wanted to put on it too.
Wow. Sounds like we're losing out big time. Who's gaining?
Well, who's gaining this agreement? It's really obvious, and it has been since the very beginning. This whole, especially the intellectual property chapter, has been pushed very strongly by USTR, United States Trade Representative, and is really, as has been mentioned by several different experts and commentators, an effort to export their domestic policies to the rest of the world. In fact, just over a week ago, Jim Balsillie, who is the co-founder of RIM, one of Canada's largest tech companies, BlackBerry, came out very strongly in an interview with the Globe and Mail saying the TPP is going to decimate Canada's innovation sector. None of the, the digital sector was consulted. None of the innovators were consulted within Canada about the implications of the Trans-Pacific Partnership on their industry, which is a huge and growing industry in Canada. So there are certainly concerns right across the board from what this is going to do to our free expression to what it's going to do to our ability to compete internationally.
How has the secrecy element of the negotiations affected how we've been able to fight against what's coming down?
Yeah, so I highlight this as my main concern whenever I talk about the TPP, and it's something that we don't just see in Canada. We see it in the U.S., we see it in Australia, New Zealand, Japan. Every single country negotiating the Trans-Pacific Partnership has a movement saying this is outrageous and unacceptable that this entire agreement has been negotiated behind closed doors with zero input from the public, with absolutely no understanding of the people that live in the countries, what's happening on their behalf. In fact, the beginning of October, Innovative Research, which is a polling firm, did a poll and asked Canadians, what do you know, if anything, about the TPP? And a full 70% of people said they either were not very familiar, not at all familiar, or had never heard of it before. And this is going to be the biggest trade agreement in the history of the world. So our governments have really done us a disservice in terms of, making clear to us, if this is such a beneficial deal, what are the benefits? Why didn't you talk to us about it? And so really, it leads us to believe that that there aren't the benefits that are touted. And when we see leaked texts from WikiLeaks, which is how open media has been able to do any of the work at all, is by leaked texts, which in and of itself is very problematic, we see that we're absolutely right. This agreement would never go through with the public scrutinizing it.
Now, we have a new government. Any hopes that the new Liberal government will not ratify the TPP?
We're very hopeful, actually. I mean, Justin Trudeau made a lot of strong statements during the election about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and about specifically what we've just talked about the way it was negotiated, about the process, which seems like the boring part, but is really important to the way this whole thing has happened. And so he did definitely, you know, criticize the way that the Trans-Pacific Partnership has been negotiated thus far. He promised to open it up, to reveal the text to Canadians, to allow for a fulsome debate about whether or not this was in the best interest of Canada, and to only vote for it after that debate had been had. So we have a lot of hope, because that's certainly not the message that we were hearing from, you know, the outgoing Conservative government. The message, the hard line that we were being told was, this is essential for Canada. If we don't sign on to it, we'll be left out in the cold.
And does he have the option to open it up?
I think that that's probably very unlikely. You know, the big players in the Trans-Pacific Partnership have always kind of been Japan and the U.S. And Japan has flat out said there will be no renegotiating of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. What is on the table right now is the deal or no deal kind of moment. So, I mean, I'm skeptical that I think that the claims that we're going to go back and undo some of the bad that has been done, or some of the more problematic pieces of the TPP, I'm skeptical about that. I mean, I haven't ruled it out, but I certainly think that, you know, it's so difficult to do that. I made the allusion the other day, it's like reopening the Constitution. It's something really tough that nobody wants to touch. With 12 nations involved and over 5 years of work put in, nobody wants to give the impression that this isn't going to be finished.
So, but it's still to be ratified. That's what you're fighting towards now?
It does. It does still have to be ratified in Parliament. And under the caretaker provisions, our government was allowed to sign the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but not ratify it. And every Parliament from all the 12 nations is going to have to bring it back and ratify it. And what we're really asking for is, we'd like to see the text, please, before that happens. It's really important that we have an understanding of what's actually in it before we can really even have a conversation about whether or not it's good for us. So that's our top ask right now, is show us what's in the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
And what would you like people to do to help you make that ask?
Absolutely. So, I mean, calling on our government really to be transparent about this, you know, they can take action at stopthesecrecy.net/Canada, a platform where we've been pushing the government both internationally and within Canada to release details of the Trans-Pacific Partnership for over a year now, for the entire duration of our campaign, have been waiting and making efforts to see more of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And Canadians can take action. They can tweet at Justin Trudeau. They can speak to their local you know, MPs. This is a really important issue, and I think it will be one of the defining ones moving forward for Canadians. So get involved.
So stopthesecrecy.net/Canada.
That is where you can take action.
Thank you very much, Megan.
Thank you so much for having me.
I've been speaking with Megan Sahli. She's a digital rights specialist with Open Media. You can also go check out Open Media's website. They are openmedia.org.